Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Monday morning. Presented by Green Ventures Landscaping. Property managers, if you manage it, they maintain it. Visit greenventureslandscaping.com. Live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership with a buzz. Is always about great service. Corey Curtis from News 2 will be along for his weekly visit at 8 o'clock on the program today. The Rob Rant coming up later this hour at 7:45. It is Titans training camp this week. They report tomorrow and get things rolling on Wednesday. Titans player reports to training camp. 102.5 The Game will keep you in the know with player interviews and the latest updates on Titans training camp as the team preps for the 2026 season. Coverage of Titans training camp presented by Twin Peaks Restaurants, Parman Tractor and Equipment, and Tri-State Water, Power, and Air. And Joe, speaking of the Tennessee Titans, it's an interesting time right now for the quarterback situation in the AFC South, because it wasn't that long ago that we were looking at Trevor Lawrence and saying, yeah, you know, he's the number one overall pick. Everybody thought he's going to be some generational player, and he's been okay for Jacksonville. And now, like, I think you look at what he just did last year, Liam Cohen coming in, the way they ran that offense. I mean, you would tell me, you might feel the best about Trevor Lawrence right now in the division than you do anybody else. Meanwhile, you know, it wasn't that long ago where you looked at C.J. Stroud and you're like, well, let's just go ahead and get his gold jacket fitted so he'll be ready to go for the Hall of Fame induction when his career is over. And now there's questions about, you know, what a long-term deal is going to look like. How does he play this year? You know, what does Houston think about kind of his status heading into all this? You have Daniel Jones, who looked really good for like half a season last year before he got hurt in Indianapolis. And then there's Cam Ward, the young guy in all this, heading into year two with the Tennessee Titans. So it's an interesting time with the quarterbacks in the AFC South right now. How do you feel about the quarterbacks in the AFC South, Joe Rexroad, and where does Cam Ward kind of stack up when it comes to how you project moving forward here?
Well, I agree with you that Trevor Lawrence, I think you look at last year and with Liam Cohen in the fold, you know, Trevor's second year was still, I guess, his best year statistically, with the 4,100 yards, with the 95.2 rating, 25-8 touchdown to interceptions, whereas last year was 29-12. But he hit the 4,000 mark again, 29-12. The rating of 91 just seemed like it really made a difference to have Liam Cohen in there. So I think you start with him. What does that mean moving forward? Well, if he's going to have roughly that kind of statistical output, and then you get into, you know, what are you doing in the postseason, whatever. But, I mean, that's top half of the league quarterback, I think, with Trevor Lawrence, which I think with Trevor Lawrence, the judgment on him, the evaluation of him has obviously changed in terms of the expectation that he's, quote, the overused word, generational. Now I think it's, I mean, he's been knocked down a few pegs, but he's pretty good. You feel probably best about him. Stroud, I mean, Stroud, this is a huge year for C.J. Stroud. And for him, statistically, it's just been a steady decline. You know, from, like you said, I mean, 4,100 yards and, you know, 100.8 rating last year to down to 3,000 yards, 19 touchdowns, you know, and 8 picks last year. You know, it's funny because his rating still, like his career rating, still better than Trevor Lawrence's, and 92.9, I think 92.9 is actually beat Trevor Lawrence's rating for whatever that's worth, you know, last year. But he struggled, and this is a massive year for his future. Daniel Jones, great year was happening before he got hurt. I still have to wonder if he's the long-term answer. I mean, if I had to pick of, Like, who am I most – if you rated them by who will be – if you had to guess, you know, these guys are quarterbacks of their teams in 5 years, then I would put Cam Ward third and Daniel Jones fourth on that list. And still not feel great about Stroud necessarily, but, I mean, he's going to have every opportunity to be their guy.
Yeah, he's going to have every opportunity to be their guy, and we'll see what this year looks like for him. I mean – Daniel Jones, what did he play in? 13 games last year. So you're talking, 13 games, threw for 3,100 yards, 19 touchdowns, 8 picks. He's coming off a big injury. And frankly, he's coming off, a big injury coupled with, still in my mind, I think of him as Daniel Jones, New York Giants quarterback that wasn't really all that good. Like, that's what I think of. Maybe that's wrong of me. We'll see. You know, if he comes back this year and just lights it up again, then maybe you have to start looking at it and saying, all right, well, either Shane Steichen's an absolute genius out there, or he got to a different situation, and we see this happen in the NFL nowadays. Sometimes you get to stop two, and for whatever reason, things just tend to work out better for you. So we'll see what the Daniel Jones part of this looks like. I mean, this has been brought up on the YouTube chat. I mean, if you're going just like starters right now, then Cam Ward's fourth. I mean, it's what it is. Like, right now, based on where everybody else is in their career, if you had to list them out 1 through 4 and rank the starters, Ward would be fourth. Now, I also, when you start getting into the upside part of it, Trevor Lawrence is turned into a good player. We'll see if if there's another level that he can get to. We've seen high levels of football from C.J. Stroud. He's still young enough where you feel like that's in him. Daniel Jones, I don't know. Like, I don't know how much upside Daniel Jones has, but that's where the hope from Cam Ward comes from is, all right, as he continues to grow here and he's entering into year two, you feel like the weapons around him are better, you're going to start to see some of these numbers maybe extend and blow up a little bit. We're going to get into later in the show, like, he threw 15 touchdowns last year, which it ain't going to get it done in today's NFL at the quarterback position, and there's a ton of reasons for that, but we'll get into that a little bit later in the show. But, like, what's the minimum that you'll be happy with this year? Because, I mean, it's not the most important stat, but it is an important stat. Like, finishing the ball off in the end zone. Like, you got to find a way to do that more consistently if you're the quarterback. I look at Ward and I say the hope of him turning into a player that's worthy of the number one overall pick is where you kind of rest on right now if you're a Titans fan. Like somebody's saying, George says he might be the fifth best quarterback in the league behind Davis Mills.
Now, there's some bulletin board material. That might be a stretch, George.
Yeah. Might be a stretch, like what you did there.
Thank you.
Yeah, like I think if you're going 1 through 4, Ward's clearly fourth right now.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. Like, ask this question on a yearly basis. It wasn't that long ago, Joe, we had a conversation about, well, look at the AFC South. You had C.J. Stroud, Anthony Richardson, Will Levis and Trevor Lawrence, and it's going to be the four quarterbacks that are just battling it out for a decade. And, a year later, that picture changed dramatically.
What a quartet. Yeah, that picture. Two of those guys are already out of there. And Stroud, I don't know. I don't know what to think about Stroud. Like someone pointing out here, offensive line play, again, it is a topic of conversation and, like, mostly in an unfavorable way in most NFL cities. But there's levels, and the Titans, of course, have been real, real bad over a stretch here. Texans had struggles there. They've fired offensive coordinators. But I don't know. He does not look like the same player. That's my scientific
evaluation.
He was
horrific in that playoff game. Just awful.
Looked
it's
lost.
It's one game, but he was awful.
But it's a game like those are the moments that matter the most. So really, really interesting. And just huge year for him. I still, like, if you force me to, okay, put your money on it right now, like, is he going to be their guy, or are we seeing, like, the beginning of the end, like an unraveling? I would have to bet on him. But
I would too, but
very curious to see how he responds this year.
Yep. And Lawrence, Lawrence, what did he throw for last year? 4,000 yards, 29 touchdowns, 12 picks. Like, he is really, 3 out of the last 4 years, he's thrown for over 4,000 yards, 20-plus touchdowns. Like, he's turned into a good player.
I still don't think he's ever going to be what he was hyped up to be when he was drafted. I mean, when Trevor Lawrence was drafted at number one overall, it was like, this guy is a generational type of talent. Like, he was talking about him, like people talked about Andrew Luck. Like, and I don't know that he's ever going to be that, but he's turned into a player that you can win with. I mean, they were 13-4 last year. He's a good quarterback. So I don't think he's going anywhere. Like, I think Lawrence he's a good enough player where he's going to be the quarterback of Jacksonville for the foreseeable future. But to your point, he might be the only one right now where I look at and I say, yeah, that guy definitely, you know, barring some catastrophic injury, is going to be the quarterback of the Jags 3 years from now. And any of these other guys, I mean, you're hoping Cam Ward is a quarterback for the Titans 3 years from now. Daniel Jones, I'd be surprised if he's the quarterback of the Colts 3 years from now. And Stroud, I don't know. I think so, but I, you know, if he's bad this year, we've talked about this. Like, what happens if you look at if you're the Texans and you just look at your roster and you're like, yeah, quarterback is holding us back. We got the best defense in the league.
Yeah.
We got good wide receivers. We got all these things going for you. But Stroud's what's holding you back. What do you do at that point if you're Houston?
Right, because, again, they're trying to blame everything else. And at some point, it's getting closer to, okay, what is happening with this guy? And with Trevor Lynch, I remember when they signed that deal. I remember it wasn't quite like Josh Heupel day on this show, but it was like, man, are you sure? You know, it's like you probably do it, but are you signing up for just a bunch of mediocrity?
Right.
But he's like, so it's really big that last year he seemed to take a step. And, yeah, like I think he's on his way to having a good career. If you don't ever win anything of significance, I guess you could look at the whole thing and say maybe you should have taken a risk and tried to get someone better, you know. But, I mean, there's still something to be said for you're stable and solid at the position, and a lot of teams that take those risks wander in the desert for a long time trying to find anyone that can even get to that level.
So how are you feeling about the quarterback situation in the AFC South and where Cam Ward stacks up in that discussion as we project forward? We'll take your thoughts at 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at 1025 The Game for live shows and exclusive content. Taking your thoughts on the Titans at 615-737-1025. How are we feeling about Cam Ward when compared to the other quarterback situations in the AFC South? Taking your thoughts on that. Jared in Spring Hill asking, do we think if Cam Ward was humbled last year, does he have the self-awareness to realize he did get humbled and has to be much better? Talking about in the quarterback documentary, he says the season was all right. Says, not to me at all. This is from Jared in Spring Hill on the YouTube chat. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to get into the inner workings of Cam Ward's mind. I don't know if he needed to be humbled or if he has been humbled or what that looks like. I mean, I think clearly if you're Ward, you look at last year and you say, well, it didn't go particularly well for our team. And if things are going to get better around here, not only does everything around him have to get better, he has to get better. I think there's got to be at least some level of self-awareness on that front. I think there is.
Yeah. Jared says, and he wears the humble over hype garb. I don't know, is that like a shirt that says humble over hype? And I haven't seen him be humble at all. His demeanor just bothers me. I don't know. I find that strange. You're allowed to be bothered by anybody. But
except us.
What's that?
Except us.
Yeah, we are perfect. But that just surprises me to hear fans say his demeanor. I think the demeanor's good. If he was pointing fingers at other people and things like that and, like, dodging accountability, then I would get it. But I don't think that's –
I don't think he did that.
I don't think he did that. I mean, you know, he said we ass, not they ass, you know? I mean, seriously. I mean, he included himself in that, so I don't think that's an issue. I mean, I think he's been humbled. I think he has the right demeanor and approach to be able to take a year like that and use it as fuel and not let it tear his confidence down. I mean, the bigger question is just, can he do the job at a high enough level? I don't think his demeanor is going to be the thing that hurts him.
No, I mean, look, his demeanor and a lot of the intangible things when it comes to playing the quarterback position, I like about him. I mean, there's no doubt he's got
some confidence to him.
Yeah, you better. You know,
and
I like that.
Like, I think your quarterback needs some of that. Now, it doesn't need to be crazy confidence. Like, I think that's when you get into trouble and thinking you can make every throw on the earth and you're throwing into triple coverage trying to fit it into a tight window. I mean, you could get in trouble there, but I think to play quarterback at an effective enough level in the NFL, there's almost got to be like a borderline cockiness that you've got there. I mean, and people, I think, display that in different ways, but like, you don't think Tom Brady out there was a little cocky, right? Like Peyton Manning, you don't think? I mean, Peyton Manning wasn't talking a lot of trash. Peyton Manning knew how good he was. Like, I mean, there's a confidence I think you've got to play, or you've got to have to play at a high level at that position in the toughest league in the world.
Like, if you want to really get, you know, Peyton Manning, who again I think he's the best quarterback I've seen in the NFL when he was at his best. But Peyton Manning was a finger pointer. He really was.
Yeah.
Now, he earned the right to do that, but he was a finger pointer, man. He'd go over the sideline and rip
yell at
anybody.
Jeff Saturday?
Yeah. Or drunk kicker, whatever. But, I mean, you know, he would not be afraid. And Brady, scream at his coaches. But, again, once you get – yes, you have to earn, you know, that power, you know, on a sideline in a locker room to be able to do that. But they weren't exactly – I mean, they did things that some would say, man, that's not what I want from my leader. Well, if you're good enough, you can do that. And then also people are going to respect you enough that they're going to listen to you, and you're probably going to be right. Cam's not there, but I don't think he's overstepped. I mean, I guess you could say, be like, Mike McCoy, what the hell are you doing? But, I mean, really, like, who can blame him, right?
It's hard to blame him on that one. Wait a minute. It's 4th and 2? We're terrible and you don't want to go for it? Cool. You want to punt from the 30? Awesome.
Thanks, Mike.
Appreciate your contribution, Mike. Yeah, I promise at some point we're going to get through a show without just totally ripping the previous Titans coaching staff.
Yeah, that's how it always comes back to that. I'm going to keep going with Jared here. I don't think he's a student of the game. I feel like those guys learned the game when it took their six. A lot of them be chirpy. You got to earn it. He hasn't, but it acts like it, IMO. I just, again, where do you get – I don't sit there. We're not there in the building with him. But when someone isn't a student of the game, when someone isn't doing the work, you find out. I mean, we've talked last week some about Vince Young.
Yeah.
There's some doc coming out on Vince Young and how it all went down. I hope it is not something that glosses over the fact that it's on him. It was on him. Like anybody who was around that team can agree he did not do what you need to do. I haven't heard one glimpse of that with Cam Ward. I don't know how you come to I don't think he's a student of the game. It's just, again, none of us are there, but I don't think that's the vibe at all coming from the building.
Well, I don't know how you would even come to that conclusion. I mean, how would you know? Right? I mean, how would I know? How would you know? Like, I mean, like you said, everything, I can only go by what people say. I mean, everything people say about the guy is he does everything right. It just comes down to whether or not he's going to be good enough to play the position. I mean, there are tons of guys that go in and out of the NFL playing quarterback that prepare the right way.
Do everything you're supposed to
that
do.
Study all the film, that are great teammates.
Most.
They do all these things, and then when it comes down to it, it's the hardest position in pro sports to play at a high level. And
right,
that's why they get compensated the way that they do.
And it's not just what people say. I mean, I think it's – if you listen to him, he knows what's going on. He's trying to figure out everything he can to do the job better. He just – you know, he has to get better. There aren't that many, I don't think, guys of that position in this league. Again, I think Vince Young is a prime example. I think Johnny Manziel is a prime example who get caught up in other stuff and they don't maximize their own potential. If Cam Ward fails, that's not going to be why. I don't think that's going to be a shred of the story.
No, it's going to be that he can't deliver the football accurately enough on a consistent enough basis. I mean, that's what it's going to be.
Right.
So, I don't know. We'll see. I mean, look, I don't blame a Titans fan for looking at Cam Ward last year. Even with all the stuff around him that was as broken as it was, from the coaching staff to the roster where he got basically no help on the offensive side of the ball, I mean, there's a lot you can point to from, I guess if you want to call it, an excuse-making standpoint and say, yeah, this was horrible around him last year. So that's why the record was as bad as it was. That's why awards numbers were as bad as they were. Like, you could point to all that. I also think, independent of that, it's a phrase we come back to a lot on this show, right? Two things being true. He had a lot of stuff going poorly around him last year, and he's got to be way better than he was last year from an individual basis. Yep. And you started to see some of it as the season went on. He played better and seemed to find his footing a little bit. But he's got to, from the jump this year, I mean, again, you're talking about a number one overall pick at quarterback. That is supposed to be a spot that totally elevates your franchise. And he's got to do that. Like, this is when you need to start to see it this year.
Absolutely. A lot of stuff around him that's not his fault that needs to get better. But he could have done more last year in that situation. He could have been better, and he's got to be better this year. Texter saying, how can someone go from a zero-star recruit to the first pick in the draft if they aren't a student in a game? Yeah, I mean, that's not anything that I've actually heard on him at all. And again, from him, pay attention to him. He badly wants to do this. Very few people actually do it at the highest level. Very, very few.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We've talked about one Manning so far on the show. We're going to get into another one coming up next. And why I'm convinced that Arch Manning is going to play extremely well this year. We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. We'll have the Rob Rant coming up here in just a few minutes at 7:45. Corey Curtis at 8 o'clock. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. Joe, SEC Media Days last week. Arch Manning was there. And I will say, I'm a little struck, not surprised, but struck by the conversation around him heading into this year, because to me it's very different than it was a year ago. I mean, a year ago it was Arch Manning is going to come in and he's going to set a single season passing record at Texas. He's going to win the national championship, win the Heisman Trophy, and then he's walking off into the sunset and he'll be the number one overall pick in the draft. And it's like, oh, okay, well, we've never seen this kid play football before, but cool. Let's see if it plays out that way. And then it became clear, I mean, really in week one, but certainly by about week four, that it was just not going well for Arch Manning. He struggled. As the year went on, he got better. Texas got better. And now, coming back for another year, like, personally, I feel like maybe this is the year where he's got a chance to go out there and just totally light it up. Number one, because of the experience he just went through. But number two, I mean, go look at the roster. I mean, he's throwing to Cam Coleman. Like, it's going to be a – I'd be pretty stunned if he doesn't have a really good year offensively. But the conversation around him is a little different. Like, you know, we talked about the quarterback tiers that the Athletic came out with last week. And Manning, I mean, he was in the top 10. I want to say he ended up at number 5 or something like that. I have to go back and look at exactly where he was. But maybe 7.
Yeah, he was not top 5.
Yeah, I think he was 7. So people are kind of split on him. Like, they look at the physical tools and they say, I mean, you're talking about 6'4", 230 pounds. Like, the athletic profile is good. We've talked about he's definitely more of a runner than Eli and Peyton were, a little bit more athletic than those guys were, like all those things. And then you see some skeptics, and the Athletic has put out a story on this. It's a Power 4 head coach. Quote, I'm not a huge Arch fan. I think he's just a good player. All the mechanics are clean. I don't know. There's something about guys who win. In high school, he didn't win championships. College, it's only been a year, but he still hasn't. He doesn't win. There's something there where I'm like, man, you have better players and you're not winning? Maybe I'm way wrong, but there's always something there. Talking about the skeptics of – or a Power 4 coach talking about that. There's another SEC front office staffer that says he was good, but basically a lot of people are saying, maybe a little bit too much hype on the Arch Manning front. It's very different in the discussion around him heading into this year. And I understand why there's skepticism, but for some reason, Joe, I can't escape it. I think he's going to go out there this year and just absolutely light it up for Texas.
Yeah, like I think he's – if he does, I think that's a great example. One, of resilience for sure, because it was bad last year. Just as poorly as he was playing after all the hype, all the scrutiny around it, it was like, oh my God, this guy can't play at all. You went from, like you said, it was like, oh my God, number one pick for sure. Who's going to throw themselves? Who's going to start tanking right now to get Arch number one overall to 3 weeks in? Oh my God, he can't even play college football. Get him off the field. So I think psychologically he's in a great. There's still a lot of hype, and he's still on the Heisman list, and all these things. But it's he's got an opportunity to actually overperform. He's got an opportunity to actually prove people wrong, which of course athletes love that. And he must have really benefited from all he went through. And I think some people probably wouldn't have been able to handle that as well as he did. You got to give him credit, I think. And certainly he's got great advisors who have been through just about everything. But at the same time, I mean, Peyton and Eli, I mean, basically, they, you know, Peyton gets on the field real early and he just gets better and better. And Eli, yeah, went pretty well for him at Ole Miss, you know. I mean, the expectations there were different. It's like if Ole Miss at that time wins 7-8 games, you've done a hell of a job. So, neither of his uncles to me went through something like he went through, which again also is their youth was not in the world of fishbowl social media crap that these kids have to deal with now. But the fact that he played the way he did at the end of last year, after all that, I'd be pretty confident in him this year having a big year.
And again, some of that's just what's around him too. Like they're a loaded roster. Like, I mean, frankly, he should have a big year, right? If you're the quarterback of Texas this year with that roster, you should have a big year. Now, you know, he missed way too many throws last year where you were just like, huh, I mean, that guy's wide open over the middle of the field. How did you miss that? And, you know, a staffer in this piece that The Athletic talks about, you know, talks about his base and his head's not always in the right position. And if he doesn't fix those two things, then he's not going to be good because those are very important to playing quarterback at a high level. So we'll see. Like, I am sure that he did some work mechanically this offseason and has fixed some of those things. We'll see what that looks like heading into this year. But you know, if he lives up to the hype this year, and Sark kind of went off about this last week at SEC Media Days, like, you know, he wasn't the one that was out there guaranteeing a national championship, and he wasn't the one on social media, and I understand talking all that. I do think the psychological part of it, like coming through the other side of it last year, you should have some confidence heading in this year. Now, having said that, you got Ohio State early in the year, and I know that they've just lost a ton on the defensive side of the ball. I've seen Ohio State reload on defense for 33 years of my life at this point, so my guess is they're probably going to do it again. We'll see what that looks like. I think it's very, very important for Arch Manning in that game specifically to come out there and move the ball and play well. You don't even necessarily have to win it, but play pretty well in that game. You can't just be a total dud like you were last year.
Yeah, well, and if you don't win it, I guess if you lose in a 34-31 shootout and Julian Sand hits Jeremiah Smith as you're standing there on the sideline with not, you know, and you can't do anything about it, that's one thing. But I mean, the haters will come out of the woodwork quickly.
Oh yeah,
yeah. If anything goes wrong at all this year, but I think that the interesting thing is I feel like some people, or I've still heard some, oh, he's going to be the number one pick, right? Whereas like this QB tiers thing, I think that's more of an accurate representation. Like there's people just aren't sure up and down. I mean, there's different opinions about him, which I get. He's not a sure thing. I think he's a pretty safe bet to be a first round pick in the next draft. I'd be kind of surprised if he wasn't. And he's not Cade Klubnik or Lenora Sellers, but let's remember those guys were supposed to be that a year ago. And I think it was a year before that. Carson Beck was supposed to be that.
Yep.
Right. And so now Arch has some physical tools that are pretty special, but like you said, the accuracy thing is a little bit of a funky release. Does that ever get to the point where it's pinpoint? I don't know. I mean, this is a big year for that.
He is the betting favorite to be the number one overall pick. He was, I believe, last year, too, heading into the draft.
Yeah.
So, or heading into the season.
And, again, last year, basically, the whole family was screaming to everybody who would listen, like, he's not coming out.
Yeah.
But people figured, well, but he's going to have this unbelievable year, and then you're not going to be able to resist. Well, obviously that didn't happen. So, and he makes sense. He makes sense as the betting favorite. For one thing, he's the most recognizable player, so people are going to bet on that. But I think I might bet the other way on him being the number one overall pick. I think he's a first-round pick, and which is okay. That's still pretty good.
There are four of the top five bets to be the number one overall pick of quarterbacks.
Yeah. So it's Dante Moore.
Yep.
And it's him. And people who are eluding
CJ Carr.
Right.
Drew Mestemaker. And then now there's that, Jeremiah Smith thrown in there.
The Mestemaker is really interesting. The Mestemaker thing is really interesting. Like, basically didn't play high school. Like, he wasn't a starter, I believe that's right, in high school. North Texas, yeah, lights it up. But he's at Oklahoma State this year. And first of all, like, you know, what kind of a team is around him?
Don't know.
I mean, that looks like one that, like, once we actually start watching football, things could change pretty dramatically on that front.
Yeah, and right now, if you're the number one overall pick, like your favorite to be the number one overall pick, I mean, you're probably looking at Miami and Arizona, and you're like, yeah, maybe one of those two places. That'll be fun. We're going to talk about Arizona here in just a few minutes, but could be a lot of fun out there.
I mean, every year, though, right, if you're you're probably looking at a Jets, a Browns, a Titans, at least you get to come to Nashville.
I mean, we have seen a Manning before say, hey, I'm not going where you want me to go. I'm not going to San Diego. I'm going to the Giants. Thank you, though. Appreciate
it. That's right. I thought you were going to say we've seen a Manning before flirt with the Titans. You've also seen that.
We did for about half a day.
Keith says, the real question is, does Arch have the personality? Like, his uncles will be on every commercial and hosting SNL. I don't know. Like, let's see. Let's let him play some football first, you know. He'll probably have those opportunities. You've also got Peyton's kids here coming up, so.
Yeah. Mannings aren't going anywhere anytime soon.
Yeah, yeah. Marshall? Where's Marshall going?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Are you going to be pissed if he doesn't go to Tennessee?
I do not expect him to go to Tennessee.
What's his supposed list right now?
I don't know. I think going to the place where your dad went and was a legend, I don't think that's going to happen. I know Eli did it. I don't think that's going to happen.
I mean, the only thing with that is, obviously, he's grown up his entire life rooting for the Vols, right? So, I mean, that might still outweigh it. And he's like, I love the Vols.
The other thing is, like, right now he's listed at 5'9", 150. There's going to have to be some growing that takes place there with Manning's kid. I mean, he's not till the class of 2030, so he's got a minute. But 5'9", 150.
I didn't realize either of those things.
He's like 14.
I thought he was like 29. Okay, he's a 30.
Yeah. He's got a minute.
Yeah, let's let him, you know, hit puberty. Go through puberty. Yeah, see what happens there.
615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. The Rob Rant coming up next. Corey Curtis at 8 o'clock. All that ahead. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game.
Don't make me angry.
Sometimes you have to tell someone to pound sand.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
This is the Rob Rant.
Now
on Robbie and Rex Road.
I like Creed. I like Nickelback.
Is Big Ben a choker or is he not a choker? Choker, choker, choker.
I don't like this media guy. Just bring your cameras on down.
When I said analyze, I said anal eyes?
Yeah.
And Rock and Roll Hall of Fame was pretty good. I booed the Beatles.
Shoot it in my butt. I don't care.
Well, I had to turn away to avoid your spewing things out of your mouth.
Oh, looks like Bishop Sankey fumbled again. At Bishop Sankey fumbled.
You suck. Your thoughts?
It is time for the Rob Rant, served by the Wine Cellar in Hendersonville. It's good to have you in back on the program. We missed that last week.
Analyze?
You did say that, by the way.
Great. Check the tape. I'd forgotten that.
Check the tape.
Tape doesn't lie.
So many things.
Just like you were the one to just absolutely get after Josh Heupel. I didn't say anything.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Nobody didn't say anything when Josh Heupel got hired.
You were like, oh, well, I'm going to keep an open mind on this. I have no opinion. I have no negative things to say.
None whatsoever. So I want to talk today about Trey McBride.
the tight end of the Arizona Cardinals, who finds himself in hot water with the dozens of Cardinals fans that are out there in Glendale. So Trey McBride was on with Bussin' with the Boys in June.
Oh, boy. That'll get you in trouble.
Get you into trouble. And one of the things he said while on the Bussin' with the Boys podcast in June, quote, living in Arizona, no one's from Arizona. Everyone has kind of moved in from another state, so they're all fans of their own teams. So now you have the Arizona that sits there, and there's no Arizona fans in Arizona. It's a tough deal. Hopefully we start winning some games, and we can bring some of those fans back. So, I mean, the quote that grabbed everybody's attention there was, yeah, there's no Arizona fans in Arizona. Well, that got him into hot water with the fan base, and he was asked about that the other day after, I believe, Saturday's training camp practice. And Trey McBride said this, quote, I probably shouldn't have said that. It came out wrong. And obviously the fan base is great. We have a tremendous fan base. Arizona's been here, loyal to all the sports teams here, blah, 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 blah. Well, don't tell me obviously the fan base is great. You sat there and said it didn't exist. So it may be great, but it's certainly not obvious based on what you said. You know, every now and then, Joe, I would like, because I know, you know, PR guys have gotten a hold of him and, you know, he's trying to walk stuff back. Every now and then, I just like somebody to stand up there and say, yeah, you know, I said what I said. I don't really have any more thoughts on it, you know? You don't have to always apologize for everything. You certainly don't have to say, obviously, the fan base is great, when you just got done saying a few weeks ago it doesn't exist. So don't tell me it's great or obviously it's great when you're talking about how there are no Cardinals fans in Arizona. Trey McBride, stand on your business, son.
I agree. Obviously, I've been told that I must say that the fan base is great. So, yeah. Obviously, I'm going to say that. And the quote isn't even – I mean, first of all, I mean, it's probably factually incorrect. Like, I do think some people were, like, born in Arizona, I think. Like, yeah. There's probably, like, families who have generations there, you know?
There are probably some season ticket holders of Cardinals at the Cardinals games that have been there for a long time. Maybe even moved stadiums.
So, yeah. But I get what he's saying. Right? I mean, we talk about it here sometimes, you know, in terms of, like, there's fans of a lot of different teams. Like, when people show up at Titans games and they're low, some of it is people traveling. Some of it is people live here from California, from Massachusetts, from the Midwest, blah, blah, blah. But also, like, he ended that quote. He's like, hopefully we start winning some games. We can bring some of those fans back. Okay, so you put that quote. Put it on you to your responsibility to bring the fans up. Because obviously the problem here is that you suck.
Yeah,
obviously
exactly.
The fans don't show up because you're bad. Yes. That's all it is. But I'm with you. Like, what you don't
obviously
need
the fan base is great. Really? Okay.
I mean, it's not obvious, but I know they're out there. I'm sure of it.
There's no Arizona fans in the entire state, but obviously the fan base is great. It's like, come on, man.
We have a tremendous fan base.
Sometimes I think you dig yourself in a little bit of a deeper hole by just trying to, like, apologize.
Just comes off totally
disingenuous.
I'm just going to say these words that I'm supposed to
like
say.
Like, if I'm a Cardinals fan, I think I like you less after that than I did if you just said, yeah, there are no Arizona. Like Trey McBride's a good enough player. Where, like, if I'm a Cardinals fan and I hear that, I'd be like, yeah, we probably do need to get our fan base to show up to some freaking games a little bit more often.
But also, But like he said, yeah, you guys need to win some games. I mean, yeah, like, look at the rest of the quotes. Like, okay. So, obviously, the fan base is great. We have a tremendous fan base. Arizona's been here, loyal fans, all their sports teams, and we're very lucky to have a lot of these guys. And, yeah, it's like, okay, man. Yeah, if you're a Cardinals fan, do you watch that quote and be like, oh, okay, I feel better about things?
Yeah, he really loves it here. Yeah.
Damage undone. Yeah. I totally believe you, man.
Yeah, and sometimes it's okay just to say, you know, I said what I said. I don't have any other further thoughts on it, you know?
If he didn't say the thing about hopefully we start winning some games, then the apology is it's on us.
Yeah.
We need to make the fans show up. That's it. But he did. So, yeah, the apology is actually here. Let me just talk about a reality that actually doesn't exist, but I guess is obvious to everybody.
Good news is I'm sure they've got the team this year to get people back in the stands there in Arizona. Get to watch Trey McBride catch passes from newly reworked contract, Jacoby Brissett.
But I couldn't believe how much they signed him for.
Jeremiah Love will get the ball probably 500 times in his rookie year.
So that'll be fun.
I mean, at least they will. I do want to watch Jeremiah Love. Like, if I'm a Cardinals fan, say what you will about running backs. When they're early in their careers and they might be great, people will show up to watch that.
Yeah.
Jared says McBride is describing Tennessee to a power T. Tennessee Titans?
Well, I would assume the Titans and not the Vols, because the Vols were bad.
You can't say much about their fan base.
They'll show up.
Yeah.
Sometimes a little too much.
Yes.
There is some transplant, you know, kind of crossover.
Sure.
With the Titans. Not as probably as much as Arizona, but yeah, a little bit here and there. Transplant city.
Yeah, I mean, I think with the Titans, I think with the Preds we've talked about before, like there's some people from other areas where it's like the Preds are like the second favorite team kind of thing. And sometimes they become your first favorite team over time.
Well, and you know, the Titans have gone through stretches here where you look up in the stands and you're like, not a whole lot of people in this building today, huh? And you know. But they've also gone through some times when you're winning games and the place is fun. I mean, John Robinson was in tears after the playoff loss at the NFL Combine about how awesome the environment was at Nissan Stadium, and they just totally let him down.
And it was an amazing atmosphere that day. And then came the first play from scrimmage.
Oops.
Oh, boy. Is it going to be that kind of day?
I can still see in my mind the video of – J-Rob just crying at the NFL Combine, saying that place was rocking now.
Yeah, I kind of feel bad for – you know, a lot of people gave him a lot of crap for that.
You think that's when he knew he was done?
I think Big Joe actually – I think it was Big Joe who thought it was like – or no, you know what? It was D-Mac. Sorry, Big Joe. He was like, it's performative, basically. Like, he just he made himself – I'm like, I promise you, man.
Pretty good talent.
I was sitting right there. Like, He first of all, he's an emotional dude. Those were real tears. And actually, like, when you look back on it, he kind of knew something, didn't he?
He knew that he was in deep trouble.
Well, yeah, he may have known that. He knew
AJ Brown's getting ready to get traded. Yeah.
I mean, Dan Campbell, when the Lions lost that game to the Niners, he said at the game, like, we may never get back again. He's right. They won't. And seriously, and J-Rob had that exact same feeling at that time. Like, we had the number one seed win two home games to go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, if you want to talk about DNA in a franchise, I remember talking to some Titans like employees before that game, the nervousness. Of course, you're nervous for a play, but it was almost like this sense that, like, is this just going to be like those two Baltimore games all over again? And in a different way, it was.
So you think
– sorry to bring it up. Sorry to make your rant such a downer at the end.
That's okay. You think the dozens of Cardinals fans that will be in attendance come the fall will be booing Trey McBride?
That's a good question.
Does his fan base
will he
turn on
hear
him?
A boo?
I don't know.
Isn't he like their best player though?
Oh yeah,
by far.
That's risky.
Yeah,
you're gonna bolt.
I mean, that's
you're
the thing.
Your best player.
Well, right.
And you're down to Jeremiah Love, huh?
So if anybody, so if anybody's going to say something like this, he'd be the guy to be able to do it and get away with it, right? Are they going to introduce defensive players that nobody knows so there's no boos?
Just gets on the microphone. Welcome in. A great fan base here in Arizona. It's good to be here today with you guys.
You guys are amazing.
Just keep that damage control going. 615-737-1025. Is our phone number. Corey Curtis from News 2 will be with us coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.
Hey, it is Ryan Seacrest here. If you love great games and a little extra excitement to your day, I got something fun for you. Chumba Casino and I have teamed up to create an exclusive online social casino game. It's called Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's fun and free to play, just like all your favorites from Chumba Casino. And every spin brings 10,000 ways to keep the good times going. Check it out and play for free today at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.